when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good rainy afternoon, Blood River Radio. This is not Eddie Miller. This is Matthew Goodwin, your host. I'll be your host the next 2 hours. Eddie is actually really sick. He called me the other day and yesterday, and his voice actually sounded 3 octaves lower than normal. And so I can actually honestly say now I've heard Eddie do his best Sam Elliott impression. But seriously, he needs our thoughts and prayers right now. So, with no further ado, we'll just get right down to it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, our enemies are mounting up all around us. They seek to devour us. They scoff at your name, they mock us, and they are sharpening their swords and getting ready, Father. Lord, we pray that you rain down hot ash on their heads. Lord, we pray that before it's too late, they do eat the scroll, those that have not decided which side they're on. We pray that they eat the scroll that's sweet in the mouth and bitter in the stomach, and that they wake up. Father, we know in Revelation it says that the woman and the child run off, and you have prepared a place for them to protect them. Our enemies are rising up against us, Father. But like those that are under the altar, we pray, how long till you avenge us? Your children. Father, even so, Lord, come quickly, as John prays. In Jesus' name, amen. So, folks, with Eddie out and me at the wheel, I'm going to be doing things maybe a little different than characteristic. I'm actually going to be using a few more quotes tonight than normal, but part of that is because of our guests that we're going to have on. Before I get on to that, I'm going to say that, like George Orwell says, we want to tear your minds apart and we want to put it back together in the way that we see fit. And that might sound scary, but folks, let me tell you straight up, you have been brainwashed about the Holocaust. You have been brainwashed about what you've been told about World War II. And we have all the facts and all the information to prove this.
Hey, Matt, so, I'm here.
Hey, Monica.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we have all the facts to prove this, and we have all the information that we need to show you, but we can lead the horse to water. We can't make it drink, but we want to tear your mind apart and rebuild it. And you know what? Our guest coming on, her name is Miss Monica Schaefer. She has all my respect because she sat in the gulag herself. She sat in the prison, and she stood up to these people. And it's like Alexander Solzhenitsyn says, those that stand up for the truth do nothing. For the truth, you must sit in jail. So she has, and she has all my respect. Monica, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much. And I'd like to start out by saying that I wish Eddie Bombardier well and a fast recovery. I know that he was not able to make it today, so just wanted to say that first of all. And apropos to what you were just saying, I just joined in on the call. Yes, they did prove every day that I was sitting in that gulag that truth is on our side, and that they are protecting one big, giant lie, or they would not have to put truth tellers in prison. You know, this truth does stand on its own, and only lies
here.
Yeah, only
hear,
not
hear.
Lies need to be protected
if
by
it's
law.
True, then why does it need a series of laws to protect it, right?
Not only that, it's just so much deeper than that. There are layers and layers of this. You see, first they tell you you cannot say XYZ, and then if you do say XYZ, forbidden thoughts, forbidden things, then they throw you in jail. Next, you think, because we've all learned in school what a fair and just justice system we have, that in the justice system, in a court, you can defend yourself. Well, this is now against the law to defend yourself, you know, if you actually explain how you reached your conclusions or try bringing evidence in that supports your conclusions. This is illegal, so you commit a new crime. Now, it gets another layer on top of that is that if you describe that situation, that very thing that I just explained to you, the legal situation and how it works in the court in Germany, then you are also breaking the law, because that is precisely what they charged and convicted Sylvia Stolz of, when she had simply been describing this legal situation during a speech that she held in Switzerland. And she's a German citizen. She went back to Germany. She used to be an attorney, and she had done her job too well. She had spent years in the gulag for defending her client, and then, you know, gave this speech where she described that situation, and then she was charged again simply for describing the legal situation. So if that isn't enough to make somebody's head, you know, get a shake, I don't know what is.
You know, it starts with the First Amendment rights being taken away. They don't want you to speak. And that, I actually, believe it or not, last night in preparation of this, I was looking up your show, not your show, but your promo of your book on YouTube. Would you believe they actually called you a hate speech, you know, and denied me to be able to watch the video? Would you believe that?
The phone line is really bad right now, and I didn't quite catch everything you were saying, but I take it you heard them calling me, you know, something hateful, or that they're calling me a hater. And this is just a classic example of framing and inverting and projecting, you see. So the very thing that those who we may not criticize, lest we be called anti-Semitic, they do to us what they themselves are doing, or they frame us with the very thing that they are doing. So they call me a hater, and yet they actually shower me with hatred. They do that both locally and, you know, on a international scale, I guess you could say, with the online things, plus, of course, in Germany.
Miss Monica, we've got to go to a break.
All right.
And we will be right back. Stay tuned, folks. This is going to be dynamite.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there, and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It Ain't Gonna Happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999. Or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had lessons.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something. Well, folks, this might be a wreck or it might be great, but this is not Eddie Miller. This is your host, Matt Goodwin, filling in. Eddie's sick, and this is Blood River Radio. Before the break, I was talking with our guest, Monica Schaefer, and I was talking about how I went to YouTube last night and was looking up her promo video for her book. And when I clicked on it to watch it, would you believe they wouldn't allow me to watch it? They said it was offensive material. So I clicked on, I want you to know, I clicked on their feedback button and I sent them a message. Here's what I said. I said, you know, I said, I wanted to watch a video that y'all sent off to the gulag. And I said, but I said, I want y'all to know that really and truthfully, I said, the thought policing is the mother of all what goes around comes around. And that's all I sent to them. But it really is. And it's really biblical. It says, what a man reaps, he sows, right?
Yes.
Monica, so, are you with me?
Yes, I am. And I'm just wondering if you were looking up the Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust video.
I was.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what I was looking back.
Yeah, they have put that into, what do they call it, limited state, which means that you have to click on another button. I understand that this may be offensive or whatever. And then they you know, they don't show the numbers anymore and this kind of thing. But, you know, this shows their fear of the truth. I mean, it is quite an innocent, well, I mean, some people would argue against that, but it's an innocent video, a message. It's an apology to my mother because I had reproached her way back when, in the day, you know, teenager age, when we were learning all about those horrible things that supposedly that the Nazis and Hitler was doing, which then later in life I learn it's all a load of bunk, and that they've really inverted it, the truth. And and so I wanted to apologize, and she's no.
Oh no, 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 no! We'll get into it more about the meat of that message you wanted to give out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But they know where you live, right? What country? I created like a term of endearment, a personal affection, maybe a nickname, if you will. I hope you receive it well. But to be with all the troubles you've been through in life, and standing up for our people, and given your heritage and your background and all that, I just thought about, you know, the. You're the cornflower of Canada.
Aww, that's so nice.
And I was really hoping you'd receive that well, because And if people don't know, the cornflower was the national flower of Germany. And
Thank you so much. That's a huge honor. Thank you. That's really, really very nice. I am definitely receiving that. I'm honored.
Well, that's good. Let's talk about the lies that we've been fed. All this brainwashing. It's just going over a lot of stuff. I can tell you one thing. I'll start with a quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, because I actually really enjoy this man. Let's see. We were talking about the freedom of speech, and it's a universal law. Intolerance is the first sign of an inadequate education. An ill-educated person behaves with arrogant impatience, whereas the profound education breeds humility. He wrote that in August 1914, the book. You know, and a lot of these people, they think that they are keeping down the tides of truth, but all they have is lies and violence. And you were expounding about that right before the break, and we can keep going on that.
Yeah, I like to call this brainwashing, that we're all familiar with the word brainwashing, but it's really contamination of the mind through the toxic lies. And so we've all been made ill with this contamination of our minds. So it's really like, you could say, an induced mental illness that we suffer from. And I suffered from it until really quite relatively recently, when I started to wake up to what was going on in the world. But it's more a contamination. And then if we understand it in those terms, then we can also understand that if we shed these, you know, if we open our eyes and we learn about these lies that have been foisted upon us, that we can heal from these toxic lies. We can heal. And, this is probably the most important part of the process, is to learn and understand what has been done to us, and then to share this with others. That I think it's just the most important thing we can do in our lives right now, because this really is an existential crisis that we face. And what one of the main mechanisms of this, the control that they have over us right now, after they have basically toxified our brains with deceptions and layers of deceptions going back decades and even probably hundreds of years, I would think, is to recognize these control words, these weaponized words that they use to keep us down, like, for instance, racist or anti-Semitic or Holocaust denier. That term itself, you know, invokes in people's brains, oh, that's evil, somebody's evil, not taking a moment to think what that actually means. And so all these words, if we recognize them, and if we get to the point that they have zero effect on us anymore, and like water off of a duck's back, if somebody calls us one of those words, then we are healed from the toxic lies and the contamination of the mind. That's, you know, my brother Alfred, he basically has become, specialized in this psychological warfare that they have been doing against us, and that's why he's sitting in jail right now. And I would love to talk more about that, the fact that he still is in jail just for making videos. In other words, completely nonviolent. He hasn't, stabbed anybody. He hasn't killed anybody. He hasn't robbed any banks. He hasn't vandalized any houses or anything. He's just made videos. Yeah.
Let me tell you the number one word that gets under my skin that they've sniped, and that's the word socialism. Okay,
uh-huh.
Socialism, the very word socialism means taking care of your people. The communists all say we're taking care of our people. That's the last thing the communists are doing. The communists are rounding their people up, throwing them in gulags, lining them up on walls and shooting them or what have you. No,
exactly.
Socialism is simply taking care of your people. The word national socialism, you define your borders, you define the people in it, and those are the people you're taking care of. And I try to explain to people, a socialist system is not an economic policy. It's laws like anti-abortion, laws against homosexuality, laws requiring you to hire your workers first, you know, those types of things. It's nothing to do with restructuring of taken from the rich and given to the poor. Has nothing to do with that. So
yeah, I'm
that's
glad.
One of the words that they have weaponized against us, and they hold the keys to it, unfortunately. So many people are scared of the answer to communism because they don't realize that the communists have the keys to have the answer locked up. They have the keys to it. What do
that's
you think?
That's an excellent way of putting it, and I'm glad that you brought up those words. And then to put this into the context of National Socialism and National Socialist Germany and what Hitler did in those miracle, like the economic miracle, which was recognized by leaders from all over the world, that 1933 till 1939, Germany became a powerhouse. And it was through Hitler's policy and, the National Socialist dream, and what you describe is perfect. It's taking, care of your people, loving your people, or hiring your people. And of course, the big thing that he did, which was that angered the certain internationalists, the globalists, was the money system. He separated himself and Germany from the Rothschild bankers and created the German, the Deutschmark, which was based on work. And
well,
so
Monica,
we
are hearing the music and we got to pay some bills. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned, folks.
All right.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
R&B singer R. Kelly has been granted bail this after being charged Friday in Chicago on 10 counts of aggravated sexual abuse involving 4 female victims. R. Kelly's lawyer, Stephen Greenberg.
He did not force anyone to have sex. He's a rock star. He doesn't have to have non-consensual sex.
Bond is set at $1 million. Kelly had to surrender his passport and cannot have contact with anyone under 18. Prosecutors say 2 of the alleged abuse victims were 16. One was between 14 and 16. The fourth was 24. Violence left at least 2 people dead as the Venezuelan military delivers humanitarian aid brought in from Brazil. Democratic Senator and Foreign Relations Committee member Ben Cardin on CNN.
I think what's happening, you're seeing an erosion of the military support for the Maduro regime and recognizing that this humanitarian aid is critically important to the people of Venezuela.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
In a stunning rebuke of the way church officials around the world have handled sex abuse cases, Nigerian nun Sister Veronica Openepo calls the church hypocritical.
Yes, we proclaim the Ten Commandments and parade ourselves as being the custodians of moral standards and values and good behavior in the society. Hypocrites at times, yes, but why did we keep silent for so long?
Her comments came at the Vatican Summit on Clergy Sexual Abuse. Police in Florida say New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft faces misdemeanor charges of soliciting a prostitute after he was twice videotaped in a sex act at a Florida massage parlor. The charges came out of a law enforcement investigation into a sex trafficking ring that Martin County Sheriff William Snyder says is likely to see more arrests.
I think it's very safe to say without any hyperbole that this is the tip of the iceberg.
Page 6 reports Kraft was spotted in L.A. ahead of the Oscars at a bash thrown by billionaire Ronald Perelman. This is USA Radio News.
today.
You're fluent in German, correct? Monica?
Yes, I am here.
As I understand it, you're fluent in German, correct?
Yes, I am.
So, can you, just one question, can you explain the difference in an NSDAP and why Adolf Hitler didn't like the word Nazi, national, you know?
Oh, yeah, thanks for that question. The word Nazi, it's a slur that was created, that word was created by Jews very early on in the existence of that party to denigrate it. It started out and remained a slur. Now, a lot of people have now kind of tried to maybe reclaim it as because people understand who you're talking about when you talk about Nazi, but it started out as something meant to be denigrating the party. And I do believe that, you know, if you take the word Nazi, that Na is the national and then the Z-I, I don't know, I mean, I think I've seen people analyze that and say, well, Zionist or something, but I think it just was a slur, and I don't really like that word because it has been associated so negatively and with so much deception about, well, they've just turned the whole story upside down and given us just a load of lies, but it was made by Jews, that word was. That's my understanding of it anyway, yeah.
Correct, and what I've read is that there's different, actually I've read different reasons why the ZI, but I actually read that it was, but even before the NSDAP, Hitler's party, came to power, that the Nazi was a word that was kind of used to describe like country bumpkins, like oafs, or just not very intelligent or bright people. Maybe that's true, I don't know.
The vilification of Germans goes way back before Hitler came to power. I mean, Germans have been vilified for a long, long, long time, you know, before World War One, and goes back into the 1800s, I do believe. So, you know, they, I guess, are seen as a big threat to Jewry, to organized Jewry, those who wish to, you know, dominate and rule the planet. And the Germans are in the heart of Europe, and they perhaps represent, well, I think all white people represent the people who have always been able to stand up to the Jews in the hundreds and going back thousands of years, actually. I mean, the Jews have been tossed out many, 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 many times over the years, and it's not just because people are born with some kind of a gene that says, gee, I'm going to be anti-Semitic today. No, I mean, there are reasons why they get tossed out. I like to make an analogy to people. Look, if you went to the bar and the bouncer kicked you out and you go home and you complain to your friend, oh, that bouncer was so unfair, you know, he kicked me out. And then the next night you go to a different bar, you get kicked out again, and okay, your friend might believe you still, but after about 5 or 10 times,
right,
you know, they might ask you, well, what were you doing?
It's hard to use that story.
Yeah, what
right.
were you doing there to get kicked out, you know? So
the great Martin Luther, the great reformer, he actually said that they should burn, and this back in the 1500s, they should burn down the Jews' houses. So, I mean, this sentiment is not new to the 20th century. It's not new to the Nazis or the NSDAP. This pattern just keeps following these people.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, I hadn't heard that about Luther saying that they should burn down any houses, but certainly he woke up to what was going on. I mean, to the JQ, you know, people don't need explanations anymore what the JQ refers to, the Jewish question. But, you know, I wanted to bring us back to earlier you were talking about communism and Bolshevism, and what we never learned in school when we were learning about communism, we certainly did not learn that that is a Jewish construct, and it is a Jewish construct. The Bolsheviks were predominantly Jewish and certainly controlled by the Jews, and this had nothing to do with some, you know, egalitarian society that they gave us in school as sort of this idealistic, you know, communistic world. I mean, we were left with sort of this, you know, idealistic view of what is communism. And it is just the most brutal, murderous regime. And they bring in all these nice words like, you know, egalitarian or, you know, equality or this kind of thing. But this is like a Trojan horse. And they've done it in the West with just through different means. You know, that, but it's like a Trojan horse. They use all kinds of nice words, and then what really happens is absolute death and destruction. And I mean, I think if people understand that, I don't know, upwards more than 60 million, some people say 160 million people were murdered and killed and starved and worked to death in Russia over the course of a few decades, you know, after the...
You know what? 60 million people, and Russia has... I looked it up last night. They had less than half the number of camps that Adolf Hitler in Germany had. Less than half. And they killed 10 times the amount of people. Can you believe that? It's phenomenal. That's a Holocaust.
And then there was the Holodomor, you know, in the Ukraine. They starved, I don't know how many millions of people there, and it was deliberate starvation. They took away the farming tools and implements, and they took away the actual food, the seeds. They took away everything. And when the families were complaining about being hungry, they said, "What, are you eating your children yet?" No. Well, then don't talk to me about hunger. When you start eating your children, then you can talk to me about hunger. This type of thing, I mean, this type of absolute brutality. And the other thing I wanted to mention about, you know, something we learned in school about burning the churches, that they forbade religion. And at the time, I was puzzled by this. I didn't understand why. Like, why would they do that? Why would they burn the churches and forbid religion? And now I understand it better, because when people have faith, they are much more difficult to control by fear, because they have a faith in something bigger than themselves, in God.
I want to give you a quote from here again, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Mm-hmm. And he says, let me find it in my notes here. Over half a century ago, while I was still a child, I recall hearing a number of old people offer the following explanation for the great disasters that have befallen Russia. Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened. Since then, I have spent well nigh 50 years working on the history of our revolution. In the process, I have read hundreds of books, collected hundreds of personal testimonies, and have already contributed 8 volumes of my own toward the effort of clearing away the rubble left by that upheaval. But if I were asked today to formulate as concisely as possible the main cause of the ruinous revolution that swallowed up some 60 million of our people, I could not put it more accurately than to repeat, men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened.
Wow, that is so powerful. Thank you for that quote. That is so powerful. It is exactly why they are now going after us in terms of, you know, we can't celebrate Christmas anymore. And they're getting rid of all Christian symbols in public places, replacing them with menorahs in many cases. Or in our little town this year, you know, we had a world tree, not a Christmas tree, but a world tree. And everybody was encouraged to come and put their decorations on it that would represent, I guess, you know, something from around the world. I mean, this comes in nice package, you know, nice words like let's all be inclusive and let's all be tolerant. But really, they're
social. They all say it's social. Yes.
Yeah. They're just. Yeah. Exactly. It's an attack and an assault on God, and they want to make us godless. And that quote that you just read from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. My goodness. I mean, this is what we need to resist and understand and recognize that this is going on. And you know the. It seems like things are accelerating now. Everybody I talk to that has their eyes wide open agrees that things are really accelerating. And what this tells me, in a way, is that it comes coincidentally, it's not a coincidence, it comes at the same time as people are waking up in droves. There's an explosive shift, I think, in consciousness and awakening, which is really, really good. But that is, I think, why they, the powerful they, are going a little bit crazy right now and trying to clamp down on this awakening that we are experiencing. And I do hear the music.
Yeah. So we'll have to go make us a pot of coffee. Come right back, people. We've got this explosive interview with Dynamite. We'll be right back shortly.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voting for it.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999, text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com, defendapatriot.com.
A Bean, this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, folks, we're back. This is Matt Goodwin, Blood River Radio, and we've got our guest, Monica Schaefer. Monica, I'm going to jump back to a point you made earlier. You said that they use these nice-sounding words and these nice ideas, socialist kind of ideology, like we're all equal and everything. That's how they get into, like a Trojan horse, that's how they get into the city or the town or the country. And to me, that's like, it's how the camel gets that nose in the tent. But once the camel's there, you're going to have to drive that thing out by force. And unfortunately, in a lot of our Western countries, this sickness has already taken hold and taken place. The youth, mm-hmm. We mentioned that quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn about the youth or people just forgetting God, men forgetting God. Mm-hmm. But here, I can see it so clearly. The young people, you go to any church, young people do not seem interested in church. They don't seem interested in knowing the God of our ancestors that we serve.
So, I mean, this is basically something that we need to take to heart, isn't it? That we need to move forward with this truth and try to capture these youth again for our God, our Savior.
Yes, you know, I'll tell you something. I actually spent a good deal of my life considering myself to be atheist, and then when I started waking up to what was going on in the world, I simultaneously, and it's not a coincidence, I then reopened my eyes and realized and understood that, oh my goodness, I was so wrong. I was so wrong. But you see, I mean, it would be a long story to explain all that, but this awakening took place at the same time because I recognized, you know, going back to what I said about why did they burn down the churches in Russia when they were, you know, bringing in communism, and then when I learned what really was going on there and the destruction of millions of people, and it's totally different than what we learned in school about communism. And then I understood why they burned the churches and killed the priests and nuns, because they were trying to destroy God. And so this is when I started to open my eyes to God, to a spiritual awakening. And so if we understand that, I think that, you know, it's like one doesn't go without the other. To understand the truth about what is actually going on in the world can be parallel with understanding the truth, the greater truth, the spiritual truth. And I mean, one of the things that's going on with young people, and I think that we have to scream and shout and resist, is the demoralization and the gender confusion stuff that's going on in schools in the name of sex education, or they might call it family health education, or these kind of things where they're actually, I would call it porno pushing at a younger and younger age in school. And this is actually, I think it changes their very brain structures in little children when they start to introduce the most bizarre and foreign concepts to these children who are just wanting to play. And they start asking them, oh, do you feel more like a girl or a boy today? And it really doesn't have anything to do with your body. It's a social construct. And all these garbage ideas. And they're changing their very brains, I think, with this. And this is something that we have to resist and fight back against, this demoralization in the schools. So that's
I think when I went through that class, you know, that it's like I was they were telling us how to avoid all these STDs and stuff. And the answer is don't have premarital sex. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to say that. No, they just want to tell you about the implications of having this, you know, fun lifestyle, quote unquote fun, so-called fun lifestyle, you know. And they're trying to tell you all this stuff. But the reality is, I mean, children don't need to know that. They don't need to see those things. All it is prepping their minds for the future education they're going to get down the road in a few years. And what I mean is in college, many of these colleges, for example, support like Sex Week. A lot of people don't realize that, but their state dollars are actually funding this type of stuff in our universities. It's a tragedy, but that's when the second part of that education kicks in. After they told you all that stuff when you were a child and you go through college and then they're telling you to live free now and don't have any consequences. But these things do have consequences.
Well, they're trying to normalize perverted behavior. They're introducing children to ideas that are completely just unnatural ideas they are introducing. And you wouldn't believe how young they introduce ideas to these children. And then when you see, oh, some Hollywood movie stars and their children are getting sex changes when they're like 10 years old or whatever, I mean, you got to think that's the epitome of insanity. I have no words for that. I'm left completely speechless at that. But I think they're setting the agenda. I mean, Hollywood, we kind of all know who runs Hollywood and who's doing, I mean, it's, I think there's a lot of, you know, satanic things going on there in Hollywood. So
Satanism reigns for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So
You mentioned the Bolsheviks. Let's go back to that, because that's who's running this system. Let me tell you, I'm just going to go on a little tirade, people. I saw a picture last night of a torture done by the Bolsheviks. And this happened in 1919, 1920, during the Bolshevik Polish-Czech War, the Russian-Polish War. And these Bolsheviks were all gathered around this captain that they had captured, Captain Romensky. And the picture is absolutely grotesque. They've got the man. You want to talk about Holocaust? Our quote-unquote allies, these people were around a tree. They had this guy, one rope around one leg. They had him completely stripped naked. They were flogging him, you could tell. His body was absolutely beaten and broken, contorted, actually. I mean, this is Holocaust. This is our so-called friendly allies in World War II. That's who's running the show here. And just like she said, I'm going to shut up and go back to her, but these people out of Hollywood, it's the same people. It's organized Jewry. It's Bolshevism. And what we're under right now is heading toward our complete and utter destruction of our people. Back to you, Monica.
Yeah, okay, the friendly allies, quote-unquote, the Bolsheviks during World War II. So that brings us right back into the story of the Hollow Hoax. And after World War II, we had the Nuremberg Trials. And there, defendants, National Socialist leaders, they were tortured into confessions. There were horrible accounts of torture, and this is all well documented. That, you know, if people ask, "Oh, well, how do you know this?" These things are documented, and tortured into making confessions, basically to give them whatever they wanted to hear. And then, of course, they were hung. Or in the case of Rudolf Höss, Adolf Hitler's right-hand man, he was imprisoned for 47 years, I think it was, and he was the one who tried to one last attempt at peace, you know, parachuting into England or Scotland, I think, and was captured and then imprisoned, and then he was supposed to be let out, and then he was found hanging, and they called it suicide, which is complete nonsense. They just didn't want him out in the free world telling us, you know, his story.
Absolutely.
So torture, I mean, this is something that, I don't know, people growing up in this part of the world, they perhaps, you know, we just have no idea that this actually could happen to us, that, you know, they are softening us up. I think they soften us up with all kinds of movies and films in which torture does take place, and it softens up people's minds just to kind of think, oh, well, this is just something that could... But I don't know. It's just...
That's exactly what it is. I come from a rural area. Let's say it like it is. You fatten the cow up before you slaughter it.
Yes.
And they want to make us soft, sweet, and little sissies, and then they're coming in for the real picture of who's leading us. It's not going to be... It's not going to be a Hollywood film, people, when they come.
No.
They come with force. And like I said, that one guy, that Captain Romensky, is hanging from a tree, naked, stripped naked, and flogged by one leg, and just completely, I won't even describe the rest of it, but
I can tell you
it's brutal. What we're facing is absolutely brutal.
Yeah, but we don't want to leave people just dejected and hanging their heads and saying, oh, it's hopeless and we can't do anything. No, that's absolutely not true. So why are we talking about these things? Why are we doing the things we're doing? And why do they feel so threatened by us? Because the truth actually will, I mean, it sounds cliche. It will set us free.
No, it's not cliche. That's the scriptures. The truth sets you free.
Exactly. The truth does set us free. Now, it could be taken in a metaphorical sense, or it could be taken in a very real sense, and I would take it both ways, because the fact that they threw me in the gulag, the fact that they imprisoned me for my video, sorry, Mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust, means they're very, very afraid of the truth. I mean, the truth is, they call it hate. Truth is hate to those who hate the truth. And they try to force us into silence by locking us up or doing whatever else. And this means they are very afraid of people waking up. And this is why I say the most important job that we have is to, first of all, to learn and understand and share the truth.
Well, folks, this is the end of the first hour. And this has been a dynamite show. I can't wait to have the next hour coming up shortly. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you, Monica, for being with us, and we'll have her back on the second hour.
Okay.
We'll see you right after the break.
Thanks.